morning and welcome to the Senators and Civil Rights Opposed Barrett's Nomination Conference. My name is Cheryl and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. During the question and answer session, if you have a question, you could press star then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference call is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Vinita Gupta. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Vinita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, a coalition of more than 220 national organizations working to build an America as good as its ideals. Ideals that Justice Ginsburg reached for in her incredible life every day, and what a legacy she leaves us. Thank you for joining us this morning to discuss the Senate Judiciary Committee's upcoming vote to advance the nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. This is reckless, and it is devastating. It's devastating to our communities and our democracy that Senate Republicans are rushing this process. But even amid this crisis, we're going to stay the course to ensure equal justice for all. We are so grateful to the senators and civil rights leaders on the call today for their leadership in this fight to protect our court. First, let me turn it over to Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, whose leadership and relentless fight, leaving nothing at all on the table to protect our democracy, to fight this nomination, we, the civil rights community, has so deeply appreciated. Senator Schumer?
Well, thank you, Vinita, and let me repay the compliment. The group's on, I'm getting a little feedback on the line, so someone is not on mute, or is on mute or something. Okay, let me thank the groups we have on the phone for doing the great job you have done. Of course, the Leadership Conference under your terrific leadership, Vinita, the People for the American Way, the Alliance for Justice, the National Women's Law Center, NAACP Legal Defense Fund, and Defense and Education Fund, MALDEF, and Protect Our Care. And I certainly want to tip my hat to Cory Booker, who has been a strong, powerful voice against this awful nomination. Now, I want to start by being very clear. President Trump and Senate Republicans have conducted the most rushed, partisan, least legitimate Supreme Court nomination process in our nation's entire 200-and-some-odd-year history. McConnell has completed his defiling of the Senate, his ruining the Senate, by what he is doing here. And it's no secret why he and the others are rushing to get Judge Amy Coney Barrett on the bench before the election. President Trump has explicitly said he wants her there to decide on the ACA case that will be heard by the Supreme Court 1 week after the election, and he wants her on the bench in case he needs her to rule in his favor if we have a contested election. Rather than use judiciary hearings to assuage the American people last week, Judge Barrett issued a near blanket refusal to answer any questions of substance. She refused to say whether she'd recuse herself from the Trump Republican-led ACA lawsuit. She refused to say, and it's hard to believe she couldn't even say that the president cannot unilaterally change the date of the election. She refused to say that. She even refused to answer a question about the peaceful transfer of power, the bedrock of our democracy. Truly unprecedented, even for a right-wing nominee to the Supreme Court. Of course, we know that Judge Barrett has certain views, and they are so far away from what the average American believes. The hard right, knowing they could never get their agenda, which is so far away and inimical to the American people, has labored diligently to try and get a hard right majority on the court, which Coney Barrett represents, because that's the one non-elected branch, and they think they can get these things through, which they couldn't even get through with the Republican president and a Republican Congress. God forbid we continue to have that after November 4th. So, Judge Barrett has harshly criticized decisions to uphold the Affordable Care Act. A vote by any senator for Judge Barrett, is a vote to strike down the ACA and eliminate protections for millions of Americans with pre-existing conditions. She has been closely affiliated with organizations who advocate for the elimination of a woman's right to choose. She has drafted judicial opinions on the issues of gun safety that put her even further to the right of Justice Scalia. And we learned today she served on the board of a school that had policies in place for years discriminating against LGBTQ parents, teachers, and their children. The American people should make no mistake. If Judge Barrett becomes Justice Barrett, every single one of our fundamental rights would be at stake. I've made clear that as long as Republicans rush the process, we will not have business as usual in the Senate. Democrats have been fighting back and using the limited tools at our disposal. We forced votes to put Republicans on record on whether or not they will protect health care for Americans with pre-existing conditions. We've denied a quorum and forced Republicans to once again change the rules to keep Barrett moving through the process. We invoked the two-hour rule and disrupted business on the Senate floor and in hearings, telling stories of Americans who will be affected by the decisions faced by an increasingly conservative court. We even tried to pass a resolution honoring RBG, whose Senate Republicans rushed to praise and Judge Barrett even invoked multiple times during her confirmation process. But the resolution to honor her dying wish that she not be replaced until a new president is installed was opposed by Republicans. Republicans blocked us at every turn, but we're not done. We have just seen this week how important a seat on this bench can be to the most fundamental rights of the country. In a 4-4 vote, the Supreme Court declined to hear a case that could have prevented the state from Pennsylvania from counting all the votes in the November election. An important decision for democracy, but also a reminder of what is truly at stake in the Supreme Court vacancy left by Justice Ginsburg. One more vote, provided by a hard right Trump-nominated justice, could be the difference between voting rights and voting suppression. Over the past several years, closely divided decisions at the court have meant the difference between having the ability to marry the person you love or not, the ability to have your right to vote protected or not, the ability to make personal choices about your own health care or not. The American people should know exactly what is at stake in the nomination of Judge Barrett to the Supreme Court. Nothing less than their fundamental rights as Americans, nothing less than the America we have come to know and love, which this court could dramatically reverse. That's why Senate Democrats will continue to fight in every way we can. We have no choice. Everything is at stake. Thank you.
Thank you so much for those powerful words, Senator Schumer. Everything is so much at stake. We are livid and offended by this whole confirmation process. I understand you need to hop off now to give remarks on the floor, but we really appreciate you joining this call today.
Thank you. Thank you for all you're doing, Vanita. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. I'm going to now turn it over to civil rights champion Senator Cory Booker. Senator Booker is a critical member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. His leadership on civil and human rights, his leadership and fight on the Senate Judiciary Committee has been so incredibly important. Senator Booker, thank you for joining us.
Vanita, I'm really grateful to be on. I'm grateful for your leadership and that of the other civil rights leaders on this call. And obviously, I've been unanimous with the other Democratic senators in the gratitude towards Chuck Schumer's leadership. I want to drive home in this moment, as every day the headlines are getting worse, about how we are in the middle of a pandemic. And if anything, it drives home the truth of the matter of the moment we're in, that this is not a normal time in America. This is the fourth largest mass casualty event in the history of our country, and it is getting worse. Hundreds of more people dying every day. What's even more stunning about this is Americans are, in this time of crisis, are having their circles of empathy and their circles of compassion be extraordinarily expanded as people are losing their jobs and therefore their health care that was often connected to those jobs. You're seeing a consciousness even grow even more about the urgency for us to have a health care system that is expansive in terms of access and coverage. You're seeing the electorate change dramatically as expansions of empathy extend to the reality of this pandemic is disproportionately affecting Black and brown people, with death rates significantly higher amongst Blacks and Latinos. And we know that as more and more people are seeing the vulnerability of this time, the concerns extend to the crisis we are having with food lines extending, food insecurity expanding, and a lot of hurt in our country. And at a time that we should be dealing with this crisis, at a time that even the Trump-appointed head of the Federal Reserve says it will have a catastrophic impact on our economy if we do not do some stimulus, we have Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham pushing through this unprecedented speed in the midst of an election where millions of people have voted, are putting forward a judge that is hostile towards the Affordable Care Act, and that even in my questioning did not seem to have an understanding of the racial disparities that exist in this country from our criminal justice system to our healthcare system. This is not right. It is wrong that we should have a nation right now in the midst of an election where people know that their health care is on the ballot, that equal justice is on the ballot, that access to securing your most fundamental rights and equalities on the ballot, that we should not wait for the American people to speak as they already are speaking and wait to do this until after the next inauguration. To me, this is stunning. It is anti-democratic. And it is an affront to what I believe are a lot of our shared, most cherished values and ideas. In addition to that, it's contrary to the very words of so many of my colleagues. Even Chairman Lindsey Graham spoke specifically to a moment like this, that if an opening would happen in this year, we should not move forward on that election. He challenged us to use his words against him. And so we know that the Republicans are not only violating their word, but really putting at risk the health care of millions of Americans, putting at risk the very security and safety that many Americans have in very noble ways come to be concerned about, not just for themselves and their families, but their fellow Americans as a whole. This is a time that this country should be rising up in a chorus of condemnation to what Senate Republicans are trying to do. And I'm confident that if they listen to their conscience and what was right, they would pause this right now. We need two Republicans to do that, or one in committee to freeze this. This is a time that they should be showing the restraint of power. This is a time that they should be waiting and trusting the American people. This is the time that they should be doing what is right. And I will stand not just with Senate Democrats, but I will stand with every American, the majority of Americans who have expressed this resolute determination that this should not go forward at this time. Thank you, Vanita.
Thank you so much, Senator Booker, for all you are doing for all of us, and really appreciate you joining us this morning. As you've heard from Senators Schumer and Booker, we are clear on what we're fighting for. We're fighting for our rights, we're fighting for our court, and we're fighting for our future. Senate Republicans should be ashamed of how they've once again railroaded the rules and abandoned people in America to force their own agenda and to take over the Supreme Court. To put it plainly, they are failing us. They are failing families and communities who are struggling in this pandemic. They are failing to answer calls for racial justice and civil rights. They're failing their constituents. Already today, more than 39 million people have voted in this election, casting ballots for the president and senators who they say, the majority of Americans say, they want to make this monumental decision. And yet they are speeding through a nominee whose record and whose hearing testimony shows that she will be a decisive vote in cementing their agenda to roll back decades of progress and take over the Supreme Court. Just this morning, news broke about Barrett serving on the board of a school that banned children of same-sex parents. Judge Barrett was chosen because powerful interests know that she's on their side, because her record shows her disdain for the Affordable Care Act, because she said abortion access is always immoral. And during last week's hearing, it was clear that she claimed to not know that voter intimidation is illegal. She wouldn't say presidents should commit to peaceful transfers of power. She wouldn't say that Medicare is constitutional. She wouldn't say climate change is real. She couldn't remember the right to protest in the First Amendment. Simply put, Barrett is unfit for this lifetime position on our highest court. Corporate interests and their allies in the U.S. Senate have worked for years to stack the courts to ensure that they work for them, not for all of us. And if we're to have courts that protect equal justice for everyone, we need a nominee who will defend our civil and human rights. Amy Coney Barrett is not that nominee. Tomorrow, the Senate Judiciary Committee is expected to vote on Barrett's nomination. It's shameful. Already last week, Chairman Graham broke the rules to schedule this vote and advance the nomination. We know that Senate Republicans are going to stop at nothing to advance their agenda to roll back our rights for decades to come. We know what's on the line here. It's access to health care, reproductive rights and freedom, voting rights, LGBTQ equality, immigrant justice, criminal justice, disability rights, and so much more. And it's why we're fighting for our Supreme Court, one that can work for all of us, one that upholds our highest values. And we're going to fight today, tomorrow, and every day until we have achieved equal justice under law. And now let me welcome Ben Jealous, President of People for the American Way. Ben.
Thank you, and it's good to be here with everybody. Every senator should vote no on Amy Coney Barrett. She has made clear that she is a threat to our health care and our democracy. She's essentially said that health care is in her crosshairs. She refused to say that Medicare is constitutional, or even that Social Security is constitutional. And she went on. She's not sure that voter intimidation is illegal. She's not sure that the President of the United States does not have the unilateral power to delay our elections. And she refused to say that the President should commit to a peaceful transfer of power. We're asking every senator to vote against Amy Coney Barrett for the sake of the health care of the American people and the sake of our democracy. And for any senator who votes for Amy Coney Barrett, we at People for the American Way will be asking the people of this country to vote against you, the people of your state to vote against you. The harm she will do to our democracy and to the health care of our people will be irreparable and deep. Thank you to everyone standing up for our health care. Thank you to everyone who is working to defend our democracy. And thank you in advance to every senator who will vote no on Amy Coney Barrett.
Thank you,
Ben.
Thank you. And now let me welcome Thomas Sines, President and General Counsel of SmallDesk. Tom?
Thank you, Vanita. I am President and General Counsel of SmallDesk, whose mission for 52 years has been to promote the civil rights of all Latinos living in the United States. Latinos are now 19% of our national population and an even greater component of our future, as more than one in four of all public school students nationwide today is Latino. We are also, of course, a growing component of the national vote. In that context, we've seen in recent terms and will see in the future that more and more of the cases considered by the U.S. Supreme Court will center on the interests and concerns of the Latino community. This includes both traditional civil rights issues, but also issues not always associated with the Latino community, such as access to health care and access to comprehensive reproductive health services. In that context, this obscene rush to confirmation is simply undermining not just the court, not just the nominee, but also the Latino community. There were no Latino witnesses heard by the Judiciary Committee, and there were no questions about the nominee's familiarity and experience with the largest and growing minority community in the United States. In addition, what we know about her record demonstrates reason for great concern. Add to that that the nominee, who should have been more candid, not less so, in the context of a rush confirmation process, was unable to answer basic questions, including a particular concern to Latinos and others, basic questions about discrimination in voting, and about voter intimidation. This does not augur well. SmallDesk joins with others in recognizing this obscene rush to confirmation delegitimizes nominee Judge Amy Coney Barrett and undermines the integrity of the Supreme Court. We also believe that it undermines the Latino community in its growing role in our society. So we join in calling for the Senate to reject the confirmation of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. And now I'm going to turn it over to Fatima Goss-Graves, President and CEO of National Women's Law Center. Fatima?
Thank you, Vanita, and thank you to Senators Schumer and Booker for your leadership in this really devastating fight. We already knew before the hearing that Amy Coney Barrett held extreme views on reproductive rights and freedom, and our worries only grew over the course of the last week. she dismissed so many concerns by saying that her personal views were separate from her legal views, that we take really cold comfort in that since her legal views line up exactly with her personal views. And along the way, she didn't repudiate things like signing on to statements calling Roe versus Wade barbaric. And she even went as far as taking the position that these court cases could be reconsidered and overruled, despite the fact that Chief Justice Roberts, Justice Alito, Kavanaugh, and Gorsuch all said in their hearing that Roe versus Wade was settled precedent, that it was important precedent, that it was the law of the land. She also refused to say whether Griswold versus Connecticut was rightly decided. This is the case that first recognized that the Constitution protects the right to birth control. She couldn't even repudiate views that could be used to justify criminalizing birth control and IVF. And every day we are hearing from women in this country who are really scared. They're scared that this process is being rushed through precisely because Judge Barrett's word view is so out of step with people in this country. And her harmful positions on issues of gender justice don't end with reproductive rights. They don't end with the concerns around health care that you've heard described. In one ruling, Judge Barrett said that addressing sexual assault in schools might be evidence of sex discrimination against men. That approach basically turns our civil rights laws on their head. We've also seen highlighted in the news over the past weekend her dangerous ruling in the case of Shonda Martin, where she held it was completely irrational to conclude that a prison guard could have used sexual assault as a method of achieving the power and discipline over an inmate that it was his job to exercise. Her approach to issues of sexual violence disregards the experiences of millions of survivors who are not only victimized by their abuser, but by the institutions that enable them. The fact that we even have to have this discussion in the election window, less than 2 weeks from the time of final voting, and get this far in the process is really unconscionable. We really deserve a justice who will fight for the civil rights of women and girls and for all of us, and we, at the National Women's Law Center, won't stop fighting for that future that women in this country are demanding. Thank you.
Thank you, Fatima. And now let me welcome Sherilyn Eiffel, President and Director Counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. Sherilyn.
Thank you, Vanita. And thank you, Senators Schumer and Booker, for your leadership, and to my colleagues for remaining engaged on this most important issue. I'm Sherilyn Eiffel. I'm President and Director Counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, the nation's oldest civil rights legal organization, founded in 1940 by Thurgood Marshall. Just a little over a week ago, we released a brief report outlining our objections to the unconscionable advancement of a judicial nominee while millions of voters are engaged in early voting and casting absentee votes, and just weeks before the general election for the president and for Senate seats across 34 states. Our report also outlined our concerns regarding the record of Judge Amy Coney Barrett, including the risk to core civil rights protections and our democracy. Judge Barrett's troubling testimony last week before the Senate Judiciary Committee and her written answers to the questions for the record, which were released last night, underscore and deepen the urgency of the concerns highlighted in our report opposing her nomination. At the hearing last week and in her written responses, Judge Barrett demonstrated an unwillingness to show independence from President Trump when she refused to commit to recusing herself from participating in any case involving a dispute over the outcome of the current presidential election, this despite the fact that President Trump has made clear that his urgency to have her confirmed is tied to his belief that the election will be resolved in the courts, and also despite the fact that she was one of the lawyers who worked on the Bush versus Gore election challenge. She refused to state that presidents should commit to a peaceful transfer of power, refused to agree that the president cannot pardon himself. She exhibited a startling ignorance regarding voter discrimination in this country when she appeared not to know that voter intimidation is a violation of federal law. She refused to agree that voter suppression is an ongoing problem. Furthermore, Judge Barrett displayed disdain for the overall process through her repeated refusal to directly answer straightforward questions. She refused to agree that Griswold versus Connecticut the case that, as you've just heard, upheld the constitutionality of married couples to have access to contraception, and that underlays the entire line of reproductive rights cases, was correctly decided. These were affirmations that were made by Chief Justice Roberts at his confirmation hearing, Justices Samuel Alito, Elena Kagan, and Clarence Thomas at their hearings. She refused, beyond six cases she called super precedent, to commit to stare decisis, a legal principle that asserts that courts should follow prior decisions when deciding a case with similar facts. Since her hearing, we've seen additional troubling information uncovered related to her record. The fact that new information continues to be unveiled after the nomination hearing has concluded is emblematic of the truncated and totally irresponsible nature of this rush nomination process, a process which is so hurried that it precludes a serious review or vetting of the record of the nominee and therefore is antithetical to the constitutional responsibility, the Senate's most important responsibility to provide advice and consent on judicial nominations. Moreover, this vote comes amidst a global pandemic and the failure of the Republicans in the Senate to move forward a bill passed by the House in May to provide desperately needed relief to millions of Americans. We have reached the nadir of American politics, and the people who will suffer from this shameful abdication of responsibility are disproportionately Black and Latino. Black and Latino disproportionately suffer from COVID infection and COVID death. Last week, it was reported that almost all of the children who have died of COVID are Black, were Black or Latino. It's been estimated that 40% of Black-owned small businesses will not survive this pandemic without additional relief. Millions of Americans, disproportionately Black and Latino, face evictions and homelessness. At the top of this conversation, Senator Schumer said everything is at stake. That is no more true than for the African American population that faces the deleterious effects of the COVID-19 pandemic at this critical moment. Finally, it's worth noting that just under 40 million votes have already been cast in the presidential election. As we speak, voters are deciding on what they want the direction of this country to be. They are voting not only in the presidential election, but in races for the Senate in 34 states. These are the two offices that have the power to determine which justices should sit on the Supreme Court. And yet they are rushing through this vote in an obscene manner in an effort to undercut the ability of Americans to express their view about how the seat left open by the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg should be filled. This process that we are seeing in this country reaches a low that we have not seen in generations. We hope that every senator will take this moment to pull back from partisan politics, to undergird the principles of American democracy, to take a step out of the madness that has taken hold of American politics, and to put the American people first. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. And now I'm going to turn it over to Leslie Dock, founder and chair of Protect Our Care. He previously served as senior counselor to the Secretary of Health and Human Services and the department's global Ebola coordinator. Leslie.
Thank you so much. And it is so disheartening, but so important to hear all the comments that have been made on this call so far. The American people understand that a vote to confirm Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court is a vote to take away America's healthcare in the middle of a pandemic. At a time when the coronavirus is surging across the country, with more than 8 million Americans having suffered through the virus and more than 220,000 Americans dead, more than 60 million having filed for unemployment coverage, millions having lost their employer health insurance, and the racial inequities in our healthcare system laid bare for all to see. Republicans insist on engaging in a sham process to ram through a Supreme Court justice who will take away America's health care when we need it the most. Just 1 week after Election Day, on November 10th, the Supreme Court will hear oral arguments into Donald Trump's court case to completely eliminate the ACA. It's important to note that Republicans on the Judiciary Committee in aggregate have voted 48 times to repeal the Affordable Care Act. The U.S. Senate tried five times in 2017 and failed to repeal the Affordable Care Act. So we fully understand, the American people fully understand what their agenda is when it comes to America's health care. If this lawsuit is successful, 135 million Americans with pre-existing conditions will lose protections, including the 8 million people with coronavirus. 23 million people will lose their health care coverage at a time when they need it the most. Women will pay more for health care simply because they are women. Maternity care will no longer be a given in people's health insurance policies. Contraception will become unaffordable for millions. Seniors will pay more for health care simply because they are older. And they will once again pay thousands more a year for their prescription drug costs. And racial disparities, which the ACA played a powerful role in reducing, but still remain completely unacceptable in today's America, will surge back into an even grimmer reality. Donald Trump has made it clear since the day he was elected that he would only pick justices who would support his decision to destroy the Affordable Care Act. He's said it, he's tweeted about it, he's repeated it after the nomination. And in her hearings and in her writings, Amy Coney Barrett has made clear that she has sided with the previous cases and with the previous legal arguments to destroy this law, and with it to destroy America's health care. Every American should make no mistake that their health care is on the line when the U.S. Senate decides on this confirmation. Every vote for Amy Coney Barrett will be a vote to take away people's health care, and literally every senator who takes that vote will have blood on their hands. This is unconscionable. The process is unconscionable. The nomination is unconscionable and ultimately cannot be allowed to stand. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. And now please to introduce Alfonso David, president of the Human Rights Campaign. Alfonso.
Thank you so much, Benita. Good morning, everyone. As you heard, I'm Alfonso David. I'm the president of the Human Rights Campaign, which is the largest LGBTQ civil rights organization in the country. I joined my colleagues this morning in raising the alarm bells. Throughout her confirmation hearing, we've seen Amy Coney Barrett would be no friend to the LGBTQ community if she's confirmed to the United States Supreme Court. Amy Coney Barrett has shown us who she is, someone who is hostile to the rights of LGBTQ people. Her professional actions as a scholar and a jurist raised significant concerns about her ability to be impartial and fair when considering cases that impact the LGBTQ community. In her hearing, she shockingly refused to say that landmark Supreme Court cases that decriminalized relationships between LGBTQ people and subsequently legalized marriages for same-sex couples were correctly decided. These cases go to the core of LGBTQ rights. And her failure to even recognize their value as precedent is enough to disqualify her to serve on the court. The fact that we have now learned this morning, during a rush hearing that should not be occurring in the first place, that in addition to her prior public positions against LGBTQ equality, she held a position atop a network of schools that discriminated against LGBTQ parents and students serves as yet another warning as to the type of anti-LGBTQ bias that she would bring to the Supreme Court if confirmed. There is no room for hate or discrimination on the Supreme Court. If Barrett is confirmed, our marriages, our families, our health care, our LGBTQ youth would be at risk. Disturbingly, Barrett has throughout her career aligned herself with the far-right anti-equality fringes of the legal community. She has worked alongside and has been a paid speaker for the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is a group that has advocated for the sterilization of transgender people and the criminalization of same-sex relationships in the United States and abroad. And in 2017, when she was asked about ADF's horrifying positions in a Senate confirmation hearing, she said she was not aware of them. When asked again this past week, she said the same thing. She is fully aware because she has been asked on the record about these anti-equality LGBTQ positions 3 years ago. Her lack of forthrightness regarding her views is really disturbing. In her written responses to the committee's questions, which we just received this morning, she said, I quote, "I fully respect the rights of the LGBTQ community and I reject discrimination on any basis." This is not consistent with her actions. This is concerning, particularly in the face of what we recently heard from the U.S. Supreme Court and the disturbing statement from two justices. Justice Thomas and Alito wrote that the decision in Obergefell versus Hodges, which is the marriage equality case, was a problem that only the Supreme Court could fix. These comments make clear that there is a war on marriage equality, there is a war on same-sex couples, there is a war on LGBTQ people. If Amy Coney Barrett is confirmed to the United States Senate, we could be one step closer to a Supreme Court that realizes that goal. We all remember clearly what life was like before same-sex couples could legally marry. We all remember what life was like when we could be evicted from our apartments or fired from our jobs from being who we are or arrested for loving our same-sex partners. We fear, with good reason, a far-right Supreme Court that could undermine the rights of marginalized communities and the LGBTQ community for decades. Amy Coney Barrett poses a clear threat to any progress that we can expect to see from the court, and her record shows that she will take every opportunity to oppose us and scale back our rights. We oppose her nomination in the strongest of terms, and we call on all senators to oppose this nomination, not only for LGBTQ people, but for all marginalized communities, and more importantly, for our democracy. Thank you, Vanita.
Thank you, Alfonso. And last but never least, I will turn it over to Nan Aaron, President of Alliance for Justice, and then we'll open up for questions. Nan, thank you.
Thank you, Vanita, and thanks to my eloquent, elegant colleagues who have already spoken, because everyone has made so many powerful statements. I will digress from my written remarks and make two quick points. One, we prepared a lengthy report about Amy Coney Barrett's record when she was nominated to the seat. We found in this report, as others have said, she had called upon the public to overturn Roe versus Wade. She opposed the law protecting health insurance. She ruled that large corporations could racially segregate workplaces. She allowed corporations to engage in age discrimination in hiring. She believed that employees should be allowed to deny insurance coverage for birth control. She dissented from a Seventh Circuit decision holding a federal law restricting felon gun rights was unconstitutional. And yet at her hearing, she evaded all questions related to her record. We know why. Her record and her silence in particular spoke volumes. She knew that if she actually came clean and said what she thinks, if she stood by her record, there'd be no way she would get confirmed. Her record speaks volumes, making it clear she'll overturn all the rights, liberties, and freedoms Americans hold dear. She is an ultra-conservative wrecking ball who will erode our critical rights and freedoms, causing irreparable harm to the lives of American people. AFJ, together with our colleagues, will be on the front lines to restore fairness and independence to our Supreme Court. The fight is not over. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nan. And now let me hand it over to the moderator so we can begin any Q&A and take any questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, you could do so by pressing star, then pressing the one on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, you need to pick up your handset first before pressing any numbers. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, you could do so by pressing star, then one on your touch-tone phone. And our first question comes from Zach Cohen from National Journal. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks for doing this call. Question for Senator Booker. At the last day of Judge Barrett's hearing, you asked about her views on the separation, I believe, of children from their parents at the border, sort of in response to Senator Hirono's questioning, and wondered first sort of what your impetus for asking those questions were and what your takeaways were from her answers.
Zach, I'm sorry. Senator Booker had to leave 5 minutes ago, and so he is not on the call at this moment, but I am wondering if anyone else wants to quickly respond to that particular line. Otherwise, we will get your question over to Senator Booker, to his staff.
Well, I'm happy to ask a question to Thomas Saenz if he's still on.
Sure. So I think that your question points out that there are many issues related to human rights tied to our immigration system that are still going through our courts and will end up with the U.S. Supreme Court. You know, certainly issues related to the census and whether undocumented immigrants can be discounted entirely, which the Trump administration currently intends to do, is already before the Supreme Court. So there's no question but that the thin record that exists is one that needs to be augmented, and in a rational confirmation process would be augmented on the issues you've raised and many, many others that tie to our immigration system. But the obscene rush to confirmation is preventing any further delving into these critically important issues that go not just to how we treat human beings in our immigration system, but that go to our identity as a nation.
Thank you. Once again, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. Again, to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. Our next question comes from Nick Nauzi from JTN News. Your line is now open.
Thank you for taking the question. I can direct this one to Sherrilyn Ifill, and then anyone else who wants to chime in would be great. If the Republicans do get this vacancy filled with Amy Coney Barrett, do you support Democrats, if they have the power to do it in the next Congress with the White House as well, would you support them expanding the number of justices in the Supreme Court and then filling those vacancies?
Hi, thank you. This is Sherrilyn Ifill. Thank you for the question. First of all, LDF is a nonpartisan organization, so we don't support political parties in particular ventures. But what we do believe is that it's going to be critical, particularly for our profession, for the legal profession, to address the question of the federal court and what has been happening to the federal courts over the last 3 years. I know there's lots of attention on the Supreme Court, but the entire federal court. We have been watching a confirmation process that has been managed by the Republican leadership over the last 3 years that has been significantly truncated with judges, even this week, even as they are focused on Amy Coney Barrett, continuing to move forward federal judges to be put on the bench without proper vetting, federal judges who have been deemed unqualified by the American Bar Association, judges who lack litigation experience, judges who have not actually represented clients, judges with a background, a professional background, that does not has not exposed them to the variety of issues that they should be able to face, confront, and evaluate as judges. So on the other side of this election next year, whatever is the outcome, there needs to be a close and very serious look at the federal court, what has been happening to the federal courts, the use of the federal courts as a political football, and the need to restore and to strengthen the federal courts by providing a process that ensures that those who are nominated to serve for the rest of their lives in lifetime appointments in positions in which they are able to decide cases that control the law and the way Americans live their lives, millions of Americans live their lives, that those people are fully qualified for those positions, that they have been properly evaluated and vetted by the United States Senate, and that the judiciary reflects the profession and the American public. We now are looking at 3 years of circuit court judges being packed onto the courts, and not one of them is African American. All of the gains that were made in bringing racial diversity to the bench have virtually been lost over the last 3 years. So there's actually a lot of work to do on the other side, and I hope that there will be a wide lens and a deep evaluation of what has been happening on the federal court.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. Again, to ask a question, please press star then 1 on your touch-tone phone. And presenters, at this time, I show no further questions in queue.
Great. Thank you, Ben. I want to show appreciation for all of the civil rights leaders that have joined today to express great alarm at this process and at the obscenity of the process, and to both senators who have been leading the fight right now. We are going to leave nothing on the table to stop this confirmation. We expect that voters will hold senators accountable for what is happening right now. And I want to thank the media for joining and continuing to pay attention to this crucially important development, even as so much else is going on. Thank you very much.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.